Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path, recording from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, what?
Awesome. Yeah, okay. I'm excited to be here.
That was the big intro. That's all that happens. All right, hey, we got a great show. We have a fantastic show coming on tonight. First of all, Light 45 is in the studio. Hey, fellas, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
So here's the deal: is they drove long distances to get here, like legit long distances to show up to this joint. Unlike Bova, who just kind of wanders in.
Hey, man, I drove from West Des Moines. That's a bit of a trek.
That didn't count. Anyway, so I'm really excited to talk to these guys. We missed them at Bash on the Farm. We'd intended to go to broadcast from Bash on the Farm, kind of line up an interview, and then just some technical stuff that didn't work out. And so we'd missed them, but they graciously agreed to haul tail down here and perform some tunes for us. They got some information on, they've been shooting some music videos, recording in Nashville, all kinds of cool stuff going on in their world. So we'll catch up with the Light 45 fellas and see what they got going on. Also, Bova, did you say that you got invited to a Facebook revival?
Yes. So, in my my time on the Facebook, roaming around, having lots of fun, talking to people in social media and stuff, someone invited me to a revival as an event that they put on their Facebook page. So someone went in and decided to, and it literally just said church revival. There wasn't any fancy name. It was just church revival.
Yep.
And so the tagline basically was, come on out to the church. We're hoping to have a lot of different people looking to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do, a specific time and specific things that are going to happen. And I immediately started laughing to myself. I didn't laugh at the person, nor did I talk to them about it because right. I would have felt bad. But I laughed to myself, and I really hope that the Holy Spirit is in line with their Facebook event planning, because I felt like that's more of a God deal of scheduling when that's going to happen
right.
rather than the pastor and or leadership staff of a church going, all right, Jesus, this is when it's going to happen, okay?
Yeah, but
it's Facebook official. I have it at 7:30 on Saturday. We're going to need you to show up and Holy Spirit style, like just a lot of people.
Yeah, but how does Jesus rent a tent to do his own? Like doesn't the church have to do the revival part because like he don't have an ID?
Yeah.
I feel like the tent is not necessarily the main part of the revival.
That's not true. Every time I've seen a revival, there's been a tent.
Yeah.
I think when you've seen someone put the word revival on a piece of paper and or a sign,
you've always seen
a tent.
You always try to do this, right? Did you say you kids? You kids
always
try to take a revival and make it different. You have to have a tent.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal.
Oh, okay. So you guys are the pro-tent Facebook
event.
Have
you read the catechism?
Bible.
It says there's got to be a tent involved.
I have not. I apologize.
And if you,
I did not realize that tent renting was absolutely necessary for revival.
And you have to park your bus as close to the highway as possible so people know that you got there on a bus. And
bus
that,
banner.
And that you're a big deal.
Oh, got it. Okay, fair enough.
And that you're throwing
that
a revival.
That makes more sense. I guess I was in the wrong thinking because I was thinking, wow, isn't that a Jesus schedule kind of thing? Not a, hey.
No, but that's where you got it wrong. Yeah. You bring a tent, people revitalize it. Yeah.
It's like, hey, Randy, I'm glad you wanted to happen at 7:30, but I think that's a Holy Spirit thing.
When the Bible says that we are the hands and feet, it means we are the hands and feet that goes to rent a tent.
I must have missed that. Was that in the Greek? Because I didn't get that part.
Yeah, you know what the Greek is.
Yeah. I must have missed it.
We also have some Dear Life from the Path coming out tonight. It's basically people have questions about life. They can't figure stuff out. And they wrote in for some advice, and hopefully we'll pull the Light 45 guys and kind of toot around the room and see if we can't find the best Christ-centered answer to help them on their way. And then also, there was kind of a big deal if you sit somewhere in the evangelical camp that a megachurch pastor had to step down this week. And we don't really talk about that, but more as, like, what do you do with something like that? That's happened a couple times over the last couple years. Both the guys, actually, I kind of dug on their teaching. They're pretty strong Bible fellas. And but like what do you do when you know you're the guy that was shepherding you, discipling you, goes away, and then what do you do with that? Like how do you kind of frame that in a healthy way that allows you to kind of move on and still take, if they, you know, if they were feeding stuff that was out of the Bible from Christ, you can go, yeah, okay, that's still pretty solid, and disconnect it from the guy. So anyway, we'll talk about that just a little bit.
All right, sweet. That's what we got going on the show tonight. If you want to interact with the show during the week, you can go to lifeinthepath.org. Hopefully you're there now. If you have any complaints about the show, go ahead and keep those to yourself. You can pray on that stuff. If you love the show, you can certainly shoot us an email, though, info@lifeinthepath.org. And I say that because I feel like the show is going to be awesome. And I want to make sure you know how to tell me you thought the show was awesome, because I heard the dudes warming up, and they are indeed awesome. And if I tell you after they're done and we start talking in jazz, then you're going back to the complaint alley. And so I feel like this is the right way to do it. Wisdom, right?
Wisdom.
Tell me wisdom. Okay.
Wisdom.
All right. Let's catch up with the Light 45 fellows. So first of all, fellows, tell, for the people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourselves and about the band.
Well, we've been together for 9 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Mark and I have. Critter here, he's our drummer on the djembe. Say hi, Critter.
Hi.
He's a man of few words. He's been with us for
very long.
like 6 years or so. We met at a church jam session, Mark and I did, and wrote a song that night that we play to this day live, and it's just kind of all been uphill or downhill since there, I guess. It's just been, it's totally a God thing that we're together, and it's been a super fun ride so far.
So how would you describe your music for folks that haven't heard you?
Rock.
Yeah, rock and roll, man.
It's rock with every possible permutation of rock, I would say.
I used to tell everybody alternative rock, because you know, how do you really label that? So.
Yeah, but we got heavy, we got swamp rock, we got a reggae song we play live. You know, it's
wait, what was the middle one? Swamp something?
Swamp rock, yeah.
What happens there?
I'm intrigued and excited about
the swamp, man.
That's like, you know, you got to imagine the hillbillies out in the bayou, you know, kind of like, you know. That's what we consider steep, is kind of swamp rock.
Yeah, I have to take your word for it, because I've never heard anyone else claim to be swamp musicians.
To that point, though, steep is a freaking sweet song, so
yeah,
I love swamp rock.
It turns out.
Yeah, apparently we're swamp rock fans.
Who knows?
Who knew? Huh?
Okay, that's good news. All right, so I want to hear more about, you guys have been doing some recording, you guys have...
a poppy thing that just kind of goes and the thing that people don't really know about that is the whole song is contrasting the law and grace, and so even the chorus there, the first it's meant to be like a person scolding a child, and that kind of represents the law, and then the last two ahs are to represent revelation in the new covenant, and even the verses talk basically two stories of people that have lived without Christ, and then last little bit in there about what it's like with Christ, and sometimes there's like overlap in areas that are is some kind of dichotomies that we always kind of do as a band. Like when it says I was breaking my own mind and I'll do it again, it means that prior to Christ our mind was broken because we were just lost and we didn't know, you know, what side was up, and then with Christ we are, you know, responsible to take every thought captive and obedient to Christ. We're responsible for breaking our own mind into obedience to Christ. And we do that a lot. Even the name Light 45 is kind of a hard and soft. You know, the truth in love is kind of what we're all about. And I really liked words like light and peace and stuff. And Mark, on the other hand, likes he's one of those typical super macho manly man that always has a gun on him and loves knives and guns and stuff. So the 45 was from his favorite gun, I think, right?
Yeah, that's the gun I carry, so.
Swamp people.
And I forgot that.
swamp people.
I forgot that
swamp
Iowa actually made Minnesota, like, if you have Minnesota permit, you carry in Iowa. So I was like, dang it, could have brought my gun down with me.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what, you should have asked me.
You couldn't carry down here, and I...
Just about everybody calls me, like, can I bring my gun? I'm like, yeah. And you didn't do it.
Next time I'll bring two of them or something. Yeah. I got rifles, too, I mean.
All right, well, sweet. Let's hear it. This is you're listening to Light from the Path. This is Light 45 with Steeped.
I was born in a coal mine. I was steeped in the sunshine. I've been breaking my own mind, and I'll do it again. Ah, 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 ah. Ah, 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 ah.
gun for smoking my six gun.
Oh yeah,
I cried and bought all of my sin and I'll do it again.
I love the backups. So that good.
Yeah, that's no problem. Hey, man, I don't get people who aren't a fan of Swamp Rock.
Yeah,
now.
I know, right?
If you listen to that song and you don't go, you know what I'm saying?
I did it. Halfway through, I was like,
there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I felt like I was wrong the first half of the song because I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And I started and I felt better.
Yeah, arms folded will get you.
Right.
What?
You need to go to a rock hospital.
Gotta go to the rock hospital.
Right. Right. Rock your face off.
I dig it.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was awesome.
Hey, so, boy, I do. I dig on that song. So people can hear this. It's an EP, right? EP album, EP?
Yeah, it's a 5-song. We decided to go for quality over quantity on this, you know. And so we're extremely proud of every single one on there. There will be other singles as well in the future. But this is just the first release off of there. So, and you know, we're playing acoustic today, but the EP, of course, is distorted and, you know, swamp rocky.
That's true. That's true. Okay, sweet. So tell me a little bit about that. Is that what you've been recently recording in Nashville, or you're pointing to something else?
Yeah. That's what you want to talk about?
Yeah.
So you just want to know a little bit about what the experience was, right?
Yeah. Tell me about, like, first of all, how'd you end up in Nashville?
So we basically, we were going to try with a guy named Travis Wyrick, and we had it all kind of scheduled, ready to go, and then a guy just kind of stopped us and said, hey, I think we need to try a different path. And the reason was, like, Travis is a great guy, but for our styles, I think Travis does more rock, and so Skid Mills is a Grammy Award-winning producer. We kind of, I think Justin knew him, I believe, is that correct?
I had a contact.
Yeah, we just kind of reached out, and it just, like, kind of. He got his Grammy with Third Day. He did Saving Abel. He's done Skillet. He's done everything you think. So he would come in, and I remember, like, the first experience for me was he's like, what do you want for drum heads? And I was like, well, I'm a Remo's guy. He's like, okay. And he just tells his guy to go get this for him. And I was like, I can do it. And he's like, nope, you just do your thing. And I remember, I'm very picky, like, how I want to be comfortable when I play.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I move around? And he's like, dude, just do what you need to do. You're paying me. And I'm like, okay, cool. It was nervous.
I feel like I'd be scared to death of this man. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it was. But the cool thing about Skid was he was real humble. I did 7 hours.
Your brother too.
Yeah. It was so cool, man. Like 7 hours on the kit, and then just the experience that this guy had was unbelievable. I mean, the way he worked was just insane. Probably one of the funniest experiences for me is, like, I like to eat a lot of food.
Right.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I'd go eat breakfast and
twice.
Like, we'd get there at like 10. He's like, okay, it's time for lunch. Like, we'd go in maybe like 5 minutes, and he's like, okay, it's time for lunch. And I learned quickly not to eat breakfast. it was unreal. I was like, I'm full already. So, but the experience of being in that studio was real cool. I mean,
did you find that, like, because he was good at what he does, that it brought out the best in what you do?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
For the best example for me was The Maze. We weren't planning on putting it on the record. Right, we were going to try. We had come in with another song, and he wasn't, like, mean about it. He just said, hey, I'm not. here, I want to change this, this, and this. And I was like, say that again? Like,
it's hard to relearn it,
actually. Yeah, right. I actually had to write my parts down, and I mean, I struggled with it. For me, I don't know how these guys, they did a lot, probably a lot better.
For it was easy for us.
Yeah.
I was like sweating bullets because like I didn't want to look like a fool.
Right on.
I was real nervous.
I know that struggle, bro.
That happened in other ways. So.
Yeah. But when we figured out how to play it and came back in, I was like, holy moly, this is why you make what you make and like why you're so good at you. I mean, it blew my mind. I was really, and now all our fans are catching that song real quick.
Do you think that a lot of the bands that like, I mean, it's been a pretty big deal that, you know, there's people pumping out albums left and right because you can do it at your house pretty much. You can get iTunes. You know what I'm saying? You can get any music recording software and pretty much put an album out if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Do you think that a lot of the music that's getting put out is missing that? Is missing like the fifth party objective that goes, I know what is good and how it works and I can help you like that?
Absolutely. I love talking about this part. Yeah. We got this asked to us before and I said, I think. My best advice for a new band, if you're real serious about doing this, like dead serious about trying to make a career out of it, go big or go home. Spend the money. Because I think one thing I learned from Skid was like you get a record and let's say you're trying to send it to the record companies to play it or whatever. They're going to listen to it once. And if it doesn't sound good, it's in the garbage. You've ruined your name. You ain't getting that second chance. And that's why he said quality was over the quantity for us. And like even Skid said that, you know. It's not about records anymore. It's about that one song, you know.
Yeah, because people buy one at a time, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So that's something I thought was really cool advice from him.
Cool. Very cool. So how long were you guys down there?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Holy cats. Yeah.
2 weeks, and it was a total rock star experience. Oh.
It started off as a week and a half. And you know, if you're going to get stuck somewhere, that's a good place to do it.
Yeah, right.
For me, like, I don't know about these. I'll speak for me. I've not, well, this sounds bad. I've never got to get out as much as a kid.
He's from Idaho.
I'm from Idaho, so like, literally.
His best friend growing up was a sheep.
There was no better way to put that. You did it perfectly.
This is crazy. So we went down on Halloween night. I've never seen so many people in my entire life. I mean.
Halloween in Nashville is insane.
I was like, this is insane. Like, I couldn't, like, it was overwhelming for me. Like, these guys are just like nonchalant. And I was like. Oh, like, where am I, man? Like, it was at 2:30 in the morning, the thousands and thousands of people. I was just.
Now, wait a minute, you're not talking trick or treat style, like getting candy. They're just hanging out.
Well, they're all
dressed up.
Though.
Yeah.
Everybody's dressed up, like, thousands and thousands
of people. Yeah, but I mean, I don't get dressed up unless someone's hanging out candy. You're saying they were just out there dressed funny for no reason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't understand Nashville as a whole.
they thought Critter was dressed up, actually.
What are you supposed to be?
But no, that was crazy to me. I never seen. That many people, like literally, I mean, I know it sounds funny, but like that was insane to me. 2:30 in the morning, I'm in t-shirts and shorts, and like, I was like, holy moly, man.
Yeah.
So
it was cold up here when we went down. We went down in November, so.
Yeah, so yeah.
We recently shot a music video in Florida, and Critter had never seen the ocean either. Dude, like, we're slowly finding out how sheltered.
You're expanding his whole world, guys.
Yeah, I thought he was joking. He's like, I've never seen the ocean. I'm like, yeah, whatever. He's like, no, I'm serious. Is he serious?
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm not kidding.
I'm going to take you anywhere. You seem excited just to have gone somewhere in general.
The only thing I didn't like about Florida is we got ticks on us.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly you.
Dude, that was bad.
We got them off, though.
Ticks like hair, and for the people that are not watching,
you should tell them how we got it off.
Because he's got a giant mop of hair.
We're out in. Is that cool if we talk about it?
Yeah.
So we're in Florida. I don't know. So we're in Florida. And
you know, I've changed my mind. No, we're not.
These guys are saying, hey, did you check for ticks? And I have a good friend named Jody. He, I did a band in Idaho for 10 years, a Christian band down there. And I met this dude. He was from the UK, and he's in the military. He lived in Florida, so I told him, hey, man, we're coming down. And I think he drove like 4 hours to help us out with our photos and stuff. And he's like, y'all checked for ticks, right? And I was like, you have ticks out here? I didn't think about it because we were in like tropical thing.
They don't have ticks in Idaho.
So by that, he just meant outside in general.
So I'm checking myself, and I'm like, I find one, I find two. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I had the dreads. I'm freaking out. This guy gets a brilliant idea to pull out a knife and a corn cob and a lighter.
Not a corn cob.
Not a corn cob.
I pulled out this whole corn cob and I buttered it.
I was like really confused about the process of the corn cob.
Story took a weird turn.
I don't know if we should allow this on the show.
It had little spikes on the end of it to put in a corn cob.
I don't understand Florida either, I guess.
And this guy like lit my chest have corn on fire.
Oh no.
Yeah, like, they're videotaping on Periscope. I'm like, dude, don't
understandable.
Don't stab me. He's getting a kick out. My wife's on there. Slice him open.
We did this live.
It was so bad.
Live streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was comical. And he burnt some. And then he's like trying to light my beard. I'm like, dude, get it off. We got the tick out, but yeah.
Well, yeah, as long as the tick's gone, yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, if you get the end of your knife really hot, it helps.
Yeah.
Well, we thought
it doesn't help me get the tick out, but it just makes the whole thing a lot more comical.
Yeah, it makes the experience more enjoyable. It doesn't do anything for the tick. Yeah.
I just know that if a guy came to my house with a corn cob and a lighter and said, I'd like to help you out with your problems.
It's like, I don't think you're fully equipped for the situation, sir.
I would say, I have a panel van I'd like you to get in. We have somewhere to go.
Don't get me wrong. I like the corn, but still.
Leave the corn on the doorstep.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't need to come in here. You can leave that outside.
I have a friend of mine from Minnesota that has a weapon. You better back it up.
He didn't bring it with him, but he's going to bring two next
but
time.
He's good.
Right, or three.
What, you got that knife on you?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. I mean, I would feel really let down if you didn't.
It's actually still got burnt tick parts on it. Yeah. If you really want to.
Not to make a new tip already on it once, though.
Wait, you fashion your own tips on the knife?
Well, yeah, because I use it for everything. So I use it for a screwdriver, pry bar, and then, you know, every once in a while you snap the end of it off, so you got to take the grinder and make a new one.
You know, there's certain times when I think to myself, you know, I know what it's like to be a man and, like, take care of stuff. Mm. And then I meet people like, yeah, I have to refashion the end of my knife all the time. And I'm just like, I own a screwdriver. And,
yeah, that's because I'm cheap.
And I really enjoy steak. Like, that's all I got going for me. That's about it.
Actually, my knives at my house are not well sharpened. And I thought, I'm going to buy a new set of knives. It did not occur to me to sharpen the knives.
You need a whetstone.
I'm almost certain with the quality of knives that you own, it is not possible.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
That's true. I spent $20 on my whole knife set, so I probably need to just go buy
it. Yeah, I don't know if that's the kind of knife we're talking about.
Yeah, buy a new set.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to divert
there's no
here.
No cheap way to do this.
I was looking on the Amazon. Someone was like, hey, this is a nice knife set, and they wanted like $280. Is that reasonable for a nice set of knives?
Well, I've heard of that before, and that's I have friends who spent that much, yes.
Yeah. I mean, my
how big was the knife set? Was it like a four knife set or what?
12 and a scissors, I think.
12 and a scissors? If that's not your new band name, it should be. 12 and the scissors.
I mean, my onions get cut today. Maybe
as long as you can cut your onions, man.
Is that the deal?
That's all that matters.
You're going to buy this $280 knife set and cut a little easier on the onions. Like, yes.
Here's what I'm thinking.
This was the right decision.
I'm afraid I would end up eating vegetables that require cutting more often simply so I feel like I'm getting a value out of my $280 knife set. It's like, anybody want any pureed carrots?
Yes, you do.
I minced my own garlic recently. Started doing it. Bought a knife specifically for it.
It's papaya time. Who's ready?
What? You don't need a papaya like an apple?
No, you can't do that.
Why not?
I'm not sure. Mango like that.
What do you? Hey, what do you guys? You guys, so when you did you fly to Nashville and Florida, or did you drive?
We drove. Yep.
So what did you guys eat on the way there? Like
you
I spent all my money on a knife and this gun.
Florida. No,
they went out and hunted.
Brutal. We did was it 38 hours? I think I had no sleep, and there was no, like, this is no joke, dude. No Walmart, nothing. I'm starving. I'm grouchy, dude. Like, I was...
He's like, we're hangry.
We get over... Yeah. We get over to this little dive bar thing, and we walk in, and they all, like, stop.
Oh,
and they were like...
That.
They're like, you're not all from here or something. How'd they say it? You're not from here, are you?
I don't know. And
people really say that? I thought that's just...
I want to go to places that say that.
All they did is order a burger and, like, a Coke or something,
yeah.
And... They took them, what, like 2 hours? And
no, they said,
they still
yeah, you
get
guys
it done.
Can't eat inside here. Just eat outside. I'm like, I don't care where I eat. Just give me some food.
What?
At this point. And then, like, 45 minutes later, inside. I walk back in. I was like, here's our burger. And they're like, oh, we're getting it put on. I was like, you know what? Just forget it. I'm going home. I went to bed. I was so mad. I was like, man.
I didn't even think that was an experience that's possible. Like, y'all ain't
right.
From here.
Nowadays.
You're going to have to eat outside?
Yes.
You'd be surprised how much
we let Critter go
in
first, actually. Yeah. So that was kind of the problem.
Wow.
My friends have the same problem with me, too. They're like, yeah. We're not feeding you, man. You need to go. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
What did the food, you did awesome on the food stuff for our trips to Nashville.
That's all Google, man.
Yeah.
Wait, you laid out, like, the restaurants you're going to stop at?
No, you know, it's Google's got those filters. You can just search for restaurants by 4-star ratings.
And yeah.
And it just takes you to the best one, so that was simple.
So best
claimed all the credits.
What was the best one on the trip?
The Mexican.
Oh, that
the Mexican
was good.
Food was just fantastic.
Oh, I thought it was a place called The Mexican.
Or a guy.
It might have been.
Or just met a Mexican.
Or a guy on the side of the road.
That's right.
I can't remember his name. He was the Mexican guy.
He cooks burgers.
My favorite restaurant experience was that pancake place where Brandon almost got slugged by that That big old black lady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
Did you start a fight at a pancake joint?
No.
Almost.
Isn't that impossible?
These guys almost got laid out. Funny. Like the whole joke, you know, you go to the bathroom and the crew leaves you and stuff.
Yeah.
These guys
thought. We didn't shut the lights off on them, though, at least.
So I'm over there and I come out of the bathroom, I'm looking around, and they were hitting really good, and then he pulled out of the car, and I was like, oh, there you are. And then he's like, oh, I'm just going to take off. So he took off. I come like at a 45-degree angle, and I didn't see this lady. And all you see is dread and beard coming at her. And she actually took a swing at me. I ducked. And she said, she did say some choice words. She said I was going to knock the, you're lucky I didn't knock.
She said, did you see the boy? You scared the poo out of me.
Yeah, yeah, the poo out of you. You're lucky I don't punch you. And I was laughing so hard, and I'm trying to apologize to this poor lady. It would have been awesome.
We're still
in. I don't want you to have gotten punched, but for the sake of the story, I wish you would have shot you right in the face. Like, I hope you don't take that as a personal threat towards your
I wish she would
have. We can try it right here if you want to.
It would have been a cooler story if she just clocked you right upside the face.
It was close. I mean, I had to go duck real quick. I mean, it was close.
Yeah. Good thing he's fast, I'll tell you what.
Man, for the sake of the story, I probably would have just taken the punch to the face. That way I could say, hey, man, we went to Nashville.
Well, we can go
what
back.
Happened? Well, I got punched in the face by this lady at a pancake house.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a certain deal to get in a fight at a pancake house.
Right. How can you be mad flipping pancakes all day and excited about that? I'd love it. Let alone punch somebody in the face. All right, whatever.
All right. Yeah. All right.
We got critter stories galore, so.
Yeah. No, hold on. Now, why'd you go to Florida to shoot a music video?
We're professionals.
Place to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, seems like a solid answer.
Next question.
We're not going to expand on that at all.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of cities between, you know, midway through Minneapolis, like Minnesota, and then Florida.
Well, it was like...
I wanted to see the ocean.
Yeah. Hey, I will totally accept that answer. That's a fair answer.
Yeah.
Well, it was to like expand his horizons. Minnesota, so...
You know, it was the middle of winter, and the song "Bring You Back to Life." It's definitely like a summer song.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
And
we had snow and
we did some scouting.
Trees, you know.
Yeah. It ended up being absolutely the perfect choice. It was fantastic, and somehow we pulled it all off in one weekend, driving from Minnesota in the winter down, shooting for 12 hours.
Yeah, we left
driving back basically.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we left Thursday at like 4 o'clock, drove 24 hours, got to where we were going to shoot, checked it out, kind of scoped it out,
saw some gators.
Saw lots of gators. Went back to where we were staying. It took us a while to find the place. It was, you know, back road somewhere. Anyways, found the place. We did a little bit of video shooting there. Went, got to bed at what? I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Got up early the next day. Went and shot all day long. Went back late. Took a nap. Got up at 5 in the morning. Drove all the way back home.
Sweet.
Got back Monday morning, so.
Yep. Wait, so did you have to get any extras or anything for this thing?
No.
It was just you guys, did it? Okay.
I'll send the videographer and then Jody.
I don't know if you had to like Facebook a crowd or like Craigslist a crowd together or something for sort of beach party scene or just like water.
No, thankfully that'd have been
a beach party scene.
That's when they said the name of the song and that you need warm weather. I immediately thought people with beach balls on the stuff and you fellas in some some board shorts out there. Was that the wrong image? No,
I feel like it was.
Wrong image?
Okay. I feel like
he
did
ride his kick drum in the ocean. Though. Yeah, he actually did.
That was my goal to put a drum set in the ocean. It wasn't my nice kit, but it was some cheap kit. It was cool. It's actually really hard to like try to float on a I was like Wilson, but with a kick drum, man, it was.
These
hard.
Are problems that I'll never have.
No, yeah, I agree.
There's certain things we'll run into, fellas.
One of you
I don't
guys is
going
to try it the next time you go on a beach with a drum.
No, that's definitely true.
So it's for Critter.
Next time you bring a kick drum on the beach,
Critter.
Hey, shoot, I forgot to mention this. So when you were doing that explanation of the law and grace stuff, I thought it made me feel stupid. Because I've listened to that song like 5 times, and I thought, I didn't catch it.
Yeah, it's hidden.
I didn't catch in the law and grace dichotomy. Yeah. And I thought, Jesus is walking around me, and I'm unawares. Mike, how did you feel about it?
Well, I liked the... When I originally heard that song, I liked it. I'm breaking my own mind and I'll do it again. Like, I got that part pretty directly. I'm like, okay, I know this feeling. Yeah. And then the other part, I'm like, man, he's written a catchy chorus. Like, it didn't hit me that anything was really going on. I just thought, if I sat down for 10 years, I could never put those string of oohs and ahs together to come up with something cool. And they've done it.
Although, if you think about it, like, the perfect person to do that voice for, like, a dichotomy of Law and Grace would be Paul. And so, like, you would have, the music video then makes me think of, like, a couple of dancing Pauls that are kind of your background that do that thing.
That's why they went with Florida, not call you up.
Because a couple of dancing Pauls in any situation doesn't sound cool.
Actually, I think I've seen a dancing Paul in a pretty cheesy VBS video that I've seen. And they're like,
all right, maybe that's the one situation where it's going to be cool.
Grace. It was like to the song of Batman or of
Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. Law and Grace. It wasn't good. You guys have done better with it.
Yeah.
Cool, thanks.
All right, awesome. All right, hey, let's dig on another tune. So you mentioned it earlier, The Maze. Tell me a little bit about this tune.
Well, this one is, it seems to be probably edging out the other ones as the favorite on the album for most people. It seems like it's really split up. You know, we have a wide variety on the EP. This seems to be probably the favorite one. And it's a story really about identity. And the story is that there's a person that he finds himself basically in a desert. And he just starts putting down bricks and building this wall. He doesn't even really know why he's doing it. But all these bricks have got a lie or a sin that relate to his identity. And before he knows it, he's built this entire maze in this lost stupor. And he finally realizes it. He realizes that he's lost, that he's in the middle of this thing that he cannot possibly find his way out of, with huge walls, you know, completely out of his element. And so then he decides to lift up his eyes and his arms follow, you know, and praise. And when he opens, looks back down at the maze, it's gone. It's just completely disappeared. And then he just walks it off in praise after that. So that's what this song is about.
All right. This is, you're listening to Light 45 on Life in the Path. This is The Maze.
My mind was so confusing, my hands were so confusing, my bricks revealed the lies and the sins that I had fused, and as I think I lay, I raised the thought that this is what life had made. The maze, when you're feeling right, I'm picking up. When you're feeling like you got the power, I know. You keep building up a throne, I'm broken, oh yeah. You keep building up a, it is got you made. When you're feeling right, I'm picking up. When you're feeling like you got the power, I know. You keep building up a throne, I'm broken, oh yeah. You keep building up a, it is got you made. For some days I wandered in the haze in the city in my soul till I wondered what I got. Yeah, for the first time I lifted up my eyes, and as my hands they had followed suit, so then to my surprise the sun had been his face from the world in this endless days to sing for my creator. The maze, when you feel right, I pick it up. When you feel it like you got the power, I know. You feel it up, I throw it up, and oh yeah. You feel it up, it is God you made. When you feel right, I pick it up. When you feel it like you got the power, I know. Feeling up a throne of broken, oh yeah. You keep feeling up a, it is God you made. When you feel the right, I pick it up. When you feel like you got the power, I know. You keep feeling up a throne of broken, oh yeah. You keep feeling up a, it is God you made. When you feel the right, I pick it up. When you feel like you got the power, oh no. You keep feeling up a throne of broken, oh yeah. You keep feeling up a, it is God you made.
song with the djembe before. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was.
Holy cats.
Grace, what'd you think of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that answer.
That's shining endorsement.
Yeah. I also feel that way.
I can't tell she's your girl at all.
Yeah, no. No, I picked her up on the way here.
There's, I love that song.
That was amazing. When I
get it, amazing.
Amazing.
Well done.
Too many songs nowadays, like that I hear either on the radio or from just kind of listening out on the interwebs and stuff like that, are songs that I can like easily just kind of jam to a little bit. I love the songs that like challenge my ears. Like literally, if I'm going, that's good stuff. Like if I'm making faces at what you're singing, like that's when I go on. Yeah, exactly.
You
when
should
you
make that
like,
face again.
If you're going like this, it's no problem. But if you got to go like,
I got garlic in my armpits.
Yeah, like I got to cringe up a little bit.
I feel like I'm being assaulted in a Waffle House.
Right? Did I just get punched in the face by some black lady at a Waffle House? Because it feels like it.
That's what it feels like.
That's the musical equivalent of what just happened in the maze. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, I dig on that. That was awesome. Well done, guys.
So now both of those songs that we just heard can be found on the EP, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, where's the best place for people to get this thing?
Probably our website, light45.com. That's LIGHT45.com.
And can they buy it right from there?
Yep.
Physical. You got any posters?
Not there, actually. We'll put some merch up soon.
We're still working on that part of it, but we're getting close.
At our live shows, we have all that.
Yeah,
stuff,
I mean, you kind of let the big air out of the balloon. I was kind of psyched up about the poster.
We can send you a poster, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of late now.
Never mind. We won't send you a poster, though.
No, actually, I'd like the poster. Okay, I wish I wouldn't react it that way.
You want a poster or not, man?
Okay, great. And Grace is interested in a T-shirt. If we're now that we're talking,
do you guys do shirts?
We do.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you do a bro tank? Move only wears a bro tank.
We could probably cut one up and make it look that way.
Yeah. I was going to say it's got to be a pretty big bro tank, gentlemen.
Every time I wear a shirt like
three
this,
logos on it because it's three shirts. I get it. You wouldn't be the first one. It's okay. Just a heads up to everybody on light45.com. It's super easy to buy. I'm literally 30 seconds into the deal and I'm already purchasing it. So
okay, go ahead. We'll wait.
Yeah, it's easy. So if you're one of those people that don't like to do something because it's going to be a taxing process, super easy. Get your card out and grab it.
See, and I went the iTunes route when I bought it, and so like it's just as easy. And frankly, when you do the here's the cool part is when you do the preview on iTunes, it's 50-50 on where they choose to pick your tune at. You know, sometimes they'll just throw in the weirdest spot, and you're like, I don't know if I like this tone. Only to find out 30 seconds later, it rocked hard and you missed it.
Yeah.
Not the case. If you preview the stuff on the iTunes this time around on this album in particular, it's all solid. So I bought the album from iTunes.
Right on.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Hey, two super easy ways to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Double bonus. Go away. Is it on Amazon, too?
It is. Yeah. You can buy it three times if you want.
That's awesome.
In fact, Google Play, that makes
three
it
times, four times easily.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something to do in the next 10 minutes, challenge yourself. Go buy this CD four times.
You can go to,
and drive to Minnesota.
He's got the whole box at his house. So, I mean.
That's awesome.
Super easy.
That's amazing. I don't know the words.
We can tell.
Can we make something clear with that one, too? So we've had people say that they think that there's a swear word in that chorus. That is not true.
I said that earlier.
Yeah. We thought there might be an effie.
It sounded like blah, 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 mother effing blah, blah. That's what it sounded like.
We're not that kind of a band. So.
I didn't think so, but I thought, well, that's a Sly Boots way to sneak that in.
Do it super fast. So.
So I suppose to set the record straight, what are you saying in there?
He changes it every time.
You want all of the words for the chorus or just that part?
That particular part, yeah.
Wait a minute, if I asked you to play it at half speed and sing it while you're doing that, is that a possibility?
It might actually come out as a bad word.
Turns out we were saying it. Joke.
We didn't even know about it. We should have slowed our jam down.
Just don't put it in reverse, man.
You never know what will happen.
No, exactly.
It goes, the maze. When you feel it rotten, pick it up. When you're feeling like you got the power, oh no. You keep building up a throne of broken, oh yeah. You keep building it, but it has got you made.
And that just ruined the song.
Oh, man.
Hey,
man.
That sounded show-tuny at first. I'm like, oh.
That's the Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's the maze.
Start swinging at that one, man.
Pick it up, yeah.
Sounds like you're missing a top hat.
Mickey Blue Eyes right there.
Hey, that, I would have missed that though. Like, there is actually a lot to connect with, even with the lyrics there. So, like, did you have to just a couple of fellas talking to each other?
It's good to see you.
So, did you have to like practice that in front of a mirror? Because I feel like that looks difficult for me to do quickly.
That was easy.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna practice it.
Oh,
and next week,
awesome.
Next week, fellas, we're on the hook to try it at full speed.
Oh no.
All right,
so we'll give it a shot.
Hey, and no prep or anything. Like, we're gonna come in here. I'm gonna count to three, and everybody's gonna do it at once.
Oh no!
Yeah, are you guys like just gonna listen to it and try to figure the words out, or like?
Yeah.
Or do you need an easier way to do it?
No. Yeah. Well, so we have him doing it slow. I might write the words down so that we can at least attempt to get it right and not completely disembowel it.
Can you do like a bouncing ball thing? That would be helpful.
There's a lyrics video that might help out.
Okay.
Hey, there we go.
On YouTube. Yeah.
Where did you guys make your own lyrics video?
Yeah, we have them all.
Okay,
all
that's cool.
Oh yeah. He's got it already.
Yeah,
man.
I'm already doing.
Out of curiosity, other than the swear word, what else did you think it said?
I didn't know. I'll be honest with you. I had, and here's the deal. Unfortunately, this is going to sound bad. I wasn't interested. I just wanted to go. Oh yeah.
You know, hey, at least he's honest. About
like
that.
Like someone that's caught awesome. Louis Armstrong in a lie, and he was trying to figure his way out of it.
I didn't do it, man.
Like someone caught Louis Armstrong in a lie.
I like that, man.
That's good. That's the best description.
If that's not a Google review of that song within the next day, I'm going to be upset and let down.
Do you have to hashtag that or something?
Hashtag
Louis Armstrong lies.
I know someone out there does.
Free Louis.
Hey, Mike, you can do it in the Louis Armstrong voice if you want for next week.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, when you show up to a show of ours, we will seriously have you up on the stage.
Yeah, it's nice to be wanted. I'll be there.
Hey, you better bring a weapon.
Yeah, fair enough. I heard Minnesota's kind of rough.
They can get that way sometimes.
They had to leave there to even do a video shoot.
Long winters.
So. All right, go ahead.
Thanks, rough people.
All right, we're going to hit some deer live from the path.
Okay.
Okay. Gracie, we're gonna get your opinion on what these people need to do right off the bat. Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I live in a beautiful apartment in the perfect location, and I've been there for 3 years. This past year, my neighbors had a second baby. This child cries constantly during all hours of the night and most of the day. I hear the wailing and the parents yelling and slamming doors when they are frustrated. I thought as the child got a little older, it would get better, but it hasn't. He's now 1.5 and still crying constantly. I'm stressed out and losing sleep because of the constant commotion. In the beginning, the parents were tolerant of their child, and I didn't want to complain because I didn't want to stress them out. Now I feel stuck. Should I complain directly to them, contact the building manager, or just make arrangements to move? I feel like a terrible person to complain. We must give young children and parents some leeway. But this isn't their first child, and I worry that something more is going on. I love this place, but I cannot continue like this. Please help me. I'm losing my sanity and goodwill towards children. Gracie, what should this man do about this problem?
Either buy a pair of earplugs or go get some headphones.
Yeah, don't sass anybody about it. You got to let it go.
Yeah. Gray says, look, man, other people have problems too. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, legitimately, here's the first thing that hits me. Like, if you're worried that something else is going on, you're doing a terrible job of getting to the bottom of that.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm
saying? Like, if you're actually honestly concerned and not just being a gossipy whineabout, you know what I'm saying? Like, concern means you go over there and say, is everything cool? Like, a kid that's 2 years old, been crying constantly for 2 years, is there something wrong with the kid? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, does he have an ear infection? No one has checked out, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me that, like, if you feel that way about that situation and you're more worried about, hey, man, I can't take this noise, then you're not really looking at this right. Like, if that kid is to the point where it feels like it has to communicate through crying for 2 years straight, something wrong over there.
Right. I think that, yeah, I would agree with your statement of they have done absolutely nothing to actually figure this deal out. Their concern is fake and only for themselves. They're willing to say, hey, it's kind of an inconvenience to me that this baby's loud and these parents are angry and yelling, and therefore I'm going to take it from the perspective of, oh, it's inconveniencing me, so I'm going to contact the building manager, or I'm going to leave. Rather than actually doing a human thing and going to getting to know the people and figuring out the situation. Maybe you can help. Maybe it's going to come off a little nosy at first, or maybe you can just make a new friend in your building.
Right.
Like, legitimately, be a human being and go actually talk to people. It's not that difficult.
Light 45, where are you at on this thing?
Well, I can tell you, if you go talk to the building manager, there's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
Truth. So,
They're going to go, yeah, it's a child.
I actually am a building manager also. So.
All right, fair enough.
And there's legally nothing you could do. Like, you could call them, and then you're just the middleman that's going between them. Then they call you when the other guy's being too loud. And
I feel like that's a real pansy way to handle it anyway.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
Go talk to your neighbors.
Yeah, just say,
door.
Hey, bro, you know.
Normally they're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they say, hey, look, she's sick, or, you know what I'm saying, like, we're having tough times, and I'm so sorry it's causing you the trouble, or, you know, I mean, granted, nobody wants to live like that. I get that. But, like, I mean, if you can take the whole world in with your eyes and ears and say, hey, man, this isn't adding up. There's not just jerk people next door that are causing their kids to cry just to make me angry. They don't make any sense at all.
Right.
Right? So there's got to be some grace in there somewhere. Let's see. Secular says, it's possible that something is wrong with the child. Talk to the building manager. Explain the problem and say that a year and a half of this racket is enough. You may learn that you are not the only tenant bothered by the constant crying and door slamming. If the problem can't be corrected, contact a lawyer and check to see if you have grounds to break your lease and get out of there. You have a right to the quiet enjoyment of your home. You have my sympathy.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. You moved into an apartment.
Right. Yeah. You have the right to smell what everyone is cooking and hear what everyone is doing.
I don't think that's in the contract. If you hear a baby crying, you can get a lawyer. I mean,
yeah, that's ridiculous. Sure. Hey, man, it smells like a weird deal, like somebody burnt some eggs. Welcome to an apartment building.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody's kid's crying. Welcome to an apartment building.
Yep.
Hi.
I own a 900 square foot mansion in Bondurant, okay? If in my own house, I do not have the right to know what noise going on in there. This is outrageous. Let me complain to the manager.
You're supposed to move to the next people's house to do it, you know?
Yeah. It takes a certain amount of hubris to be like, I deserve to live better than this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, Boo was right. You look at an apartment building with, say, 500 tenants and go, oh, yeah, this is going to be my dream home of absolute quiet.
Right.
You're dumb. You're dumb, man.
I'm never going to hear a thing.
Yeah.
You know, what? And, like, it's
weird. You're going pre-stressed. That's all
I'm kind of excited about my apartment building. There's an Indian couple right next to me. Their house always smells amazing.
Hey, is that mandatory that an Indian couple has to live in an apartment complex?
Yes, every single apartment complex.
Yes. It is.
I'm just saying there's always an Indian couple and they're always cooking.
That's right.
They're up till 4 o'clock in the morning too cooking. I love those people. They're amazing.
Do they let you sample what they're cooking?
I'm about to start.
I mean, you might as well knock on their door and complain about the smell. Maybe they'll give you some.
Right, like walk over there, and be like, "Hey, here's the deal. I noticed that your apartment always smells incredible, and I'd like to partake."
Yeah, yeah.
I brought some bread because that's all I can do. I can get a loaf of bread and the chicken noodle soup, and then walk over like I can't contribute to your meal, but I certainly want to partake.
Shawarma says I don't know nothing. All right.
It smells amazing.
It's actually weird that this came up. I was thinking as this letter was going on, it's like how blind can you be to somebody else's circumstances? As much as you don't, as like it may bother you to have to listen to a baby crying, what's it like being the baby? Right? What's it like if there's something legitimately causing this kid to be upset or can't be calmed down? Like, what's it like to be those parents? And like, it was weird. Mike and I were having a conversation with someone recently, and like it was a relationship issue, and like it was the hardest thing to try to get someone to say, like, hey, this person's overbearing, this person's difficult to deal with, this person like is constantly nitpicking things and like has to have things exactly their way, and like that stinks being on the other side of somebody like that. I know that, like, I've met people like that, but like you do have to consider what's like to be that person.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the world and you can't, and your mind says I have to care about this to like a crazy extent, or things have to be exactly right, otherwise I don't have, like, I get real anxious. And I'm not saying they're not wrong, I'm just saying it also sucks to be them. And so, like, to a certain extent, can you try to take something in that says, hey man, that people struggle. And a lot of times some of their quirks about how they interact with people, like, will bury them. And some, like, I remember my mom was like that, because my mom had some anxiety about when Mike and I would, I don't know, we just like walk away. We wouldn't tell her where we were going, and we'd go wander the apartment complex or whatever, and we wouldn't
terrible
say
people.
And like, she'd, you know, eventually after like 45 minutes, she'd come having to look around everywhere and try to find us, right? And like, we always overreacted. We're like, what was the problem? We were always just at the third playground of the playgrounds available. We were at the third one. And like, we were on the other side of someone like flipping out because she couldn't find her kids. And we're like, hey, she's being unreasonable. But in reality, she's flipping out because she cares about her kids.
Right.
And so like expand that into other areas of life where you think people are overbearing, or you think people are too persnickety about something, or, you know, like, the things that you're bothered by, just know that there are other people that are closer to that situation that are having to deal with that as well. And so, like, just have a little bit of humanity that says, like, relatively, here's how you can react to something that's going on, but recognize they're having to deal with it firsthand. You're the secondhand person. And so put that in some perspective.
Yeah,
right on.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I have a 6-year-old son who is a very compassionate child. Ooh. My husband's mother lives with us and recently went through an illness from which she recovered. Twice my son tried to give her a necklace he made from braided yarn to cheer her up. Life from the Path, she not only refused to accept them, but left them on the floor as if she didn't even want to touch them. She has no reason to dislike my son, but she just cannot appreciate the love he was demonstrating. As Grandma is not likely to change, I wonder how to help him understand that his sweet but childish gifts are just not valuable to some people. If I say nothing, I am concerned it will hurt him more in the long run. Personally, I love the pictures and letters and gifts he makes for me, and so does my mother, who lives far away. It makes me ache to see his compassionate gifts rejected to his face by a family member he loves. Your thoughts, sensitive mom of a sensitive boy.
Johnny's going to be a pansy on wheels with a bow on it if you continue to treat him that way.
Holy cats. Like, here's, she already knows the deal, right? Like, she's looking at her lenses like, he's a sensitive boy. Yeah, he is, which is okay, but it sounds like you're just a sensitive person. Right. I want to impress upon the sensitiveness that, like, this woman is not as good as me or my mother, and we're great, and my husband's mom, she's just terrible. I don't care how many times she's almost died. She should accept this braid directly and not hurt the feelings of my 6-year-old boy who really doesn't even notice the difference. Have you seen kids give out cards? They're like, they had more fun making the card. And then they give you the card, and they're like, yeah, whatever. And then they're gone.
Yeah.
They're going to play with something. They're not, like, waiting with bated breath on your reaction to this homemade gift.
Hey, it's on the floor, right? Like, that's where the kids put all their stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, they don't, the floor isn't automatically perceived as a place of ill repute.
See, exactly, right? Here's the deal. Like, as a parent, if this happened to me, truly the deal is, it's all it is a teaching moment for your kids. That's true. Grandma might just be acting like a child.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing there. Like, Grandma, you know, Grandma could have just said thank you and hit it in her garter. I don't know. Like, and she could have handled this differently. But to the extent that she's not.
Agreed. But that's not your job as a parent. Your job as a parent is not to control everyone else's reactions. Your job as a parent is to guide the reactions of you and your children. Right? So when stuff like this happens, how do you teach them to deal with that with grace and humbleness and be like, well, you know what? I was happy to make it for you. And whether you like it or didn't like it, I made it. My heart was in the right place. Here you go. You're not going to rob my joy with your mean grandma tactics. We're moving on, right? And so, like,
that's if another
you,
great band name, by the way. Mean Grandma Tactics.
That's Swamp Rock.
Swamp Rock Band, the next one.
I'm just saying, if your job is to raise your kids, then grandma's reaction is not your problem. And here's the deal. You got to let that go, too. You're the same person that's going to have to carry that around every time you see her in the house. Oh, she don't like my son's braided gifts. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you – seriously, you're the one bearing the weight of this – of the grudge that you're holding. And so, like, if you can figure out a way to say, you did a good job, son. Your heart was in the right place. I love that you made that card for Grandma. Let's go do the dishes. You know what I'm saying? You can frame it just like that and not have to make a huge deal about how they acted or how they received it. Do you see anything wrong with that?
I think that you're absolutely right. You know, you can control the way that your son is going to, well, at least from the teaching perspective, what he sees from this experience. You're not going to be able to control everyone else. And if you're trying to figure out how to control that, you're just going to set them up for failure. On top of that, I think going back to the original hypersensitivity that you might be causing to your son, there's nothing wrong with having a sensitive kid. It's
nope.
Just, it's from the perspective of if you try and control not only his sensitivity, but then also place expectations of everyone else that everyone is going to be super excited about everything you ever do, you're going to set that kid's up emotions for that kid's emotions up for failure, because that's not a realistic expectation for that kid to have. It's not realistic for that kid to think that everyone in the world is going to be super nice to everything he ever does, and the world's not a tough place. And at 6 is a perfect time to start teaching them that not everybody's the nicest person on the planet, and you just kind of have to deal with that.
That's right. You just can't. That's true. Not everybody's
exactly.
Jesus. Get them.
Teach that kid Jesus and realize, hey, that's the benchmark, but none of us are going to hit it.
you did great.
That's right. It sounds overly Bible dramatic here about man's approval, but like there is some truth to that, right?
Yeah,
like you do things because God has been good to you, right? Like it's all our reaction to Him, not our attempt to get His approval. It's all our actions change because He was great to us. He saved us, and we have His love right now. And so, like, whether someone accepts your braided belt that you made or says, "I hate braided belts," and you're stupid for making it, you go, "Well, that was fun."
Mike, if you ever make me a braided belt, I'm going to throw it on the ground and say that was stupid.
I'm half done. That's true. And maybe you don't make a braided belt again or whatever. Like, there's lessons to be learned, but, like, seriously, you're investing way too much. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
What would
isn't
make
that
you
the
happy,
thing
Grandma?
To do?
Apparently not our braided bracelets.
Hey, we were actually, my wife and I were actually talking about that last night, about the kids, like, our kids like to give gifts, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll make gifts or they'll give them to my wife and I. And, like, we don't care for gifts, right? We don't really care. Like, there's other, if you want to think of the love language stuff, right? Like, acts of service
right.
or affirming words or whatever they are. And, like, but I was talking to my wife and I thought, like, one of the things that we need to do better is, like, I don't care about gifts, but those kids certainly cared when they made them, right? Like, that's what they would have liked, so that's what they made for us. And so
you
got to kind of see it in that light. Right? Like, at some point, you have the ability to look at things and say, I know what they like, and I will make it for them. But, like, from certain people, if I look at my kids and they spent time making a gift that I don't really care about, but to be honest with you, if they spent time making it because that's what they would have liked coming back, like, that means something very special to them.
Right.
And I should be able to react to that and recognize what they were actually attempting to do as opposed to, hey, did you give me something that I actually care for?
Yeah. Nurture their kindness and generosity.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right, a secular says, I can only imagine how your son felt when his grandmother rejected his gifts. It appears your mother-in-law is one of those who dwells more on the price of things than on their value.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what she thought. You know, son, I know that I gave you at least $10 for Easter, and this is what you came up with? I mean, you're really making a cartoon.
Is it possible that the grandma was just kind of just getting over an illness?
Yeah, she
and was just kind of like, well, cancer's gone. Bracelet.
Yeah, what, like,
okay.
Yeah, maybe she couldn't physically
yeah,
hold
exactly.
It.
Like, she was just kind of tired one day. It was just like, all right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, how did she become like a greedy miser?
I can't imagine this woman is that kind of a curmudgeon where she's just like, beat a deadly sickness twice, can't appreciate anything still.
Right. She forgot what it's like to be a kid.
Yeah,
honestly.
Exactly. Truth.
Honestly.
Live that. It says, if your son was disappointed by the woman's reaction, he needs to know that not everyone appreciates creative art, but assure him that you and your mother definitely do, and they are not only welcomed, but also treasured. So I'm going to agree with some of that, but here's the deal. That type of attitude is what gets a terribly bad singer on American Idol. You know what I'm saying? It's those parents that are like, you do such a good job,
you're
Steve.
Wonderful.
Here's the deal, Steve. You're terrible. And I love you enough to tell you that.
No participation medal. You didn't win.
Well, that's the thing. People do this stuff with their kids all the time. They're like, you got to nurture them. Here's the deal. Steve, you're a bad singer, and I love you, and you're my son, but I cannot let you go on TV and completely embarrass yourself because you're awful.
You're a terrible singer. Let's try carpentry or something.
Yeah, let's do something different.
Try
you
to
know?
Live with your hands at all.
Yeah. Exactly. When was the last time you made a knife tip?
That's true. It's possible. It's possible that Steve just likes to embarrass himself, and then you can nurture that. But otherwise, Steve, you're terrible, and you ain't going on American Idol.
All right.
Let's do one more. Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
You 2 feet off each other.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I am a gifted, introverted, Christian, 13-year-old female with a strong sense of right and wrong. I disagree with some things my parents condemn as sinful. I want to support gay rights and animal rights. My mother, in particular, takes the Bible literally, while I am more open. I want to take action to support these causes, and I know are right, but I'm afraid she will be angry. I love my mother so much, Life from the Path, and this makes me so sad. Please help me. Ooh, that one's heavy. That one's heavy. Okay, hold on. We give an advice to the parent or the kid?
The kid asked the question.
The kid asked the question.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of tough because, you're going to have to start over. You're going to have to start over with Jesus and then start there, and then we will talk about the way that the Bible is used as a hammer sometimes. And some of the positions that she is holding... are from The correct heart, but the wrong understanding. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wait, the good parent or the girl?
No, the daughter. The yeah. daughter. I support gay rights and animal rights. Like, I know why she thinks this and why she wants to do this. It's a heart for people and a heart for God's creation as animals. Like, it's cool. I get it. Right. And we're just looking at the practical stuff and missing why God's heart is the way that it is and why he points us to, be or live a certain way for our joy and his glory. And we're just missing. She's missing the connect between the two. Why God promotes things to be in a certain way, because it's what ultimately brings the best joy to his kids and the glory to him. And so that's a bit of a relationship conversation, not a drive-by 30-minute or 30-second conversation. But like, I think it's probably pretty easy to see where that disconnect is coming in.
But how do you recommend that she deal with the mother?
I don't know if she can until she gets that part straight first, really. I mean, it sounds like the issues are deeper than just dealing with the mother and the issue. It's the issues themselves, you know.
Right. And I suppose from her perspective, though, she probably doesn't see him that way, right? Like, I have a strong sense of right and wrong, which implies that her mother is just wrong, right?
Right, yeah.
And so, like, I'm not sure. It depends on the nature of the relationship between the daughter and the mom as to whether you can even have fruitful conversations in there, which is also, and this goes back, it was pretty heavy. We talked about this, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But it's the same reason that, like, you have a hard time convincing people to accept moral right and wrong from a Jesus that they don't know.
Right.
You know Jesus, and then you start reacting to things Jesus says. And then he says things like, I have to care about these types of things, and I need to stop lying, and I only kiss my wife. Like, things of this nature, I'm willing to fall into those things because I love and trust Jesus. But, like, if I don't trust the source, then the argument on the strength of the right and wrong is irrelevant.
Right.
And so, like, from a relationship aspect, you know, you're probably not going to make a lot of headway trying to hammer things back and forth. Like, it's Jesus really solves those types of things, or he works those things out. Fealty to Jesus then makes me say, all right, well, if Jesus acts this way or he says this is how it is, then I got to figure out how does that work. Then how do I care about people and then have God say, I want you to live differently than what you're living? How do I care about... I don't know what the animal rights argument is. Don't skin the coyote or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to figure out like a biblical, like even understanding it incorrectly, a biblical perspective that's against...
Don't take a corn cob to the tick.
Right, exactly. That's the wrong way to deal with that.
In the Bible somewhere, I believe.
Right, I don't get
no,
that.
No, maybe not.
Yeah, but in either case, like, you can, if you can agree on, if she says she's more open, she doesn't seem like she's bailed on Jesus yet, so I say, like, from both sides, stick with Jesus, and then you know, pursue that together. The thing is, there's people that love Jesus that are in different places than I would be theologically, okay? Yeah. And so, like, that doesn't mean, like, we have to be at total odds at stuff. Either Jesus is working on me or Jesus is working on them, but and probably both. And so, in either case, I think we can live at least consistently knowing that we love and follow Jesus. And as long as we're both pursuing that, I feel like that'll shake out. I'll be honest about the things that I think. Like, I have a reason biblical reason to believe the things I believe. But, like, I think that's how you're going to have to keep that relationship with your mom, is recognize that when she, if she's coming from the right place, the heart is well-intentioned. Just like my heart would be if I'm talking to someone who doesn't know Jesus, is like, I would want to talk to them about it because I care enough to do so. Just like you care enough to tell someone that they suck and shouldn't go on American Idol. You know what I'm saying? It's the same premise that, like, hey, do I love you enough to tell you the truth as I understand it, in ways that I understand it because I love you, as opposed to I'm right and you're wrong and I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Like, it really depends on your heart and the manner. It depends on the mom's heart and the manner. Frankly, it depends on the daughter's heart and the manner when you're talking to your mom about those types of things.
Right.
Grace, is it easier to understand, like when we talk about stuff that Jesus talks about, is it easier to understand when we explain why God's heart is the way it is, opposed to just give me the rule and I'll follow it? Is there one way that's easier than the other?
Again.
Honesty.
Okay.
Excellent. There we go.
I got a little bit of advice on that, what I would do.
Sure.
Now, you're kind of asking for it when you pray for this, but what I think the daughters do is pray for conviction.
That's
and
great.
pray for the truth, like God just shows her the truth. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he can show you cut and dry what's right
yep.
and what's wrong. But, I mean, if you pray for conviction and you're serious, you're probably going to get it.
That's
it's
true.
It's not always fun.
Very true.
And, you know, even if she ends up believing that lifestyle is wrong, which is what I believe, one of the big problems in America today is that everything's polarized. you can't disagree with somebody without hating them.
Right.
I mean, and we see that everywhere. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got friends that live that lifestyle, and we don't agree with them, but we love them tremendously.
Absolutely.
You know? And they know that, too, actually.
Yeah, right.
Oh, absolutely.
They do. And you know, I think that's that narrow path that Jesus was talking about. You know, it's the truth and love. And you can't err on one side. You can't have truth without love, but you can't have love without truth either.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that quite a bit in our youth group this last year, was the concept of looking at something with truth and love and having both of those, that duality there. You know, and I agree with that entirely. In America, even from the American church perspective, I think that we fight for legality of things.
Right.
And we fight for the American kingdom we live in rather than Jesus' kingdom.
Yes,
and absolutely. We spend so much time worrying about what is the law in America versus what's the law that God has written on the hearts of his kingdom.
Amen.
And why are we trying to affect people's relationship with Christ through a law and a kingdom that God does not claim to be his own?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest draws that we have, and the biggest pieces of breakdown we have there. And I think that's probably, and I mean just listening to what happens there, I think that's where one of the biggest draws in that breakdown between the two are. Because I mean, this sounds like this girl is at least trying to read her Bible a little bit, and she's probably heard Jesus's words. And I'm a little hesitant when she says I don't take the Bible literally, because I think that it's perfectly fine to take it literal and still love people and not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can take it literally by Jesus saying, "Yeah, you're supposed to love them," and that's it. And so, yeah, but yeah, I would agree with. I think at 13 years old, I think you're young, still very young. I mean, you have a lot to learn and a lot to grow for. But at the same point in time, I think that hopefully you have the relationship with your mother that you can start having that kind of conversation. You know, you need to be honoring to your mother, and you need to be loving to your mother through that, and understand that she has an opinion on this for a reason, and maybe you need to step back and take a look at that and say, how can I understand her reasoning? And then maybe talk with her about that, especially if you're expecting her to do that for you. I think it would be a very adult move on your part if you were to try and have a conversation with your mother from that perspective of, Mom, it sounds like we disagree on this, and I'd like to know from a Jesus perspective, I want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah. I would say that you should make your own decisions. Yeah, you care about a person, but you can still affect the world. Yeah, whatever.
Nice, Grace.
I agree. You can still affect the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. Like, a lot of those principles showed up in even a lot of the conversations that have been going on with stuff that's been happening in the world this week, right?
Yeah.
Like inability to actually, I wrote a couple things down this week that, as I was trying to think through this. And, like, some of it is, like, we just can't seem to have the right conversations for the right reasons, right? Yeah. Like we're just kind of volleying back crapola and, like, here's the tit-for-tat thing that I care about. Here's the thing that I care about. Like, I was really getting frustrated this week in broader context, like a refusal of people to have conversations that don't sit in like the right context. We want to narrow things down so much so I'll say this directly so you know what I'm talking about. Like, a lot of the argument over the Black Lives Matter stuff, right, is like, it was bad marketing, right? What they meant and what they intended to affect was Black Lives Matter too. And it feels like it's not. It feels like the things that are going on, that the lives of black people in the United States seem to matter less, at least from their perspective. And here's the thing, like, the people got police statistics on how police are actually engaging with different people. And so we should be working off true things, okay? Like, you can't run a marathon on false stuff. But, like, you do need to recognize that regardless of those things, it is how people are feeling, right?
Right.
So at least acknowledge that. And in the context that although they probably got off their own rails by saying things like just Black Lives Matter when they really meant like this matters too. I think we should all be there by now though. Like, we should stop arguing about that. Like, that was the general intent. Let that sit in the right context of what they're actually trying to affect. As opposed to continuing to have that conversation as if we don't understand that sits in the context. And, like, I saw so many discussions from people that were not talking about anything that mattered. It wasn't what people were actually wanting to talk about. Like, there are people that are in pain on both sides. And it's even the dichotomy is false. But like there's pain and there's misunderstanding and there's distrust in areas, and we're just like blowing past context of humanity here, and we're like, I want to be right and I want these people to be wrong. And like I've never met a person in my life where I didn't say this is a human being. They are diverse. They're the way they think about things is deep and gray and complicated. No one is easily labeled by a particular hashtag, a particular set of events, a particular thing that they believed in or not believed in. You know what I realized this week, Bova? I realized that I was hesitant to like or not like something on Facebook for fear that it would paint people's understanding of what they think I believe and not believe. And then I thought to myself, that's freaking stupid.
Right.
But then I also thought, that is also what people will do.
It's exactly what people do. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We are defined at this point in time by what people can see. And if all people can see is your social media presence and you do something, people are quick to make a judgment based off of that alone. And it's ridiculous. We have eliminated a social perspective by becoming quote unquote more connected through social media, and it's ridiculous.
Yes.
We have disconnected entirely. If you can look at someone's post and you whatever you want to look at, whatever profile, whatever social media site I may be talking about, and within five tweets or five posts or something like that, you make a just statement about who you think they are, and you never try and get to know them, and you never get any kind of relationship with them, you are being ridiculous.
And it just feels hatred.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Unreasonable hatred.
Yeah. If you looked at my Facebook when I was 16 versus now, I was a completely different person. But it's you have to get to know me versus just my presence on social media. They could be going through a tough time. You know, when I lost my parents, I didn't post happy, happy, joy, joy, Christ stuff. Like, I didn't talk about how much I love Jesus and how much, you know, my relationship with him has sculpted everything that I do nowadays. And you would see a dude that was struggling and stuff like that. And if that's the decision you're going to make based off me because of a week worth of tweets or a week worth of, you know, Facebook posts, it's ridiculous. And so we run into the situation where we now have this rip in our society because of a hashtag. It's sad. It's completely sad.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that contributes to this to some point too is that we've taken every stance and we've literally brought it to the highest governmental level.
Yeah.
And we try to take moral issues and then we try to use the billy club of the federal government to force it upon people that we don't agree with. And it happens on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that's got to stop too. Yeah. We got to understand that people can live their own lives.
Yeah.
Even if you don't agree with it, as long as they're not hurting you, not hurting anybody else, you know, that's kind of what the country is founded on. But nowadays it's like, you know, either you want to use the federal government to force people to act a certain way in the bedroom, or you want to use them, you know, force them to give money to a certain, you know, cause that you see as noble. You know, and it's we got to get way past that stuff because it's killing our country.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking for some of our own validation in some of that stuff, right? Like, I want my government to look like me. I want my theological understanding to look like me. I want, like, all these things to otherwise mirror ourselves. And there's a severe lack of humility in approaching things in that manner that assumes that we know better than what we know. And so, like, I suppose if I have an encouragement in here, then it is that you need to be real careful on... I don't know that I'd hesitate to be posting things and interacting with things in that way, but like, you need to make sure you're not taking things in such a shallow way that someone posts something, you're like, oh, I know them. I know what they think. I know what they believe. I know exactly where they're coming from. Like, that's silly. You don't know a person by that things. Like, people are extremely nuanced. We need to be careful and like have dinner table conversations. Yeah. Don't line people up and know who they are based upon, even bits of events that have gone on or what they support or what they don't support. Like, it's just silly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike, what was the advice?
Secular says, please don't be sad. Instead, be patient. There's no way to change the thinking of someone who takes the Bible, or any holy book for that matter, literally.
What are the other holy books?
Yeah, I was expecting
do
that
what
one.
You can yes, now, but you may have to wait until you are older and on your own to become fully active in the causes you feel are important. Yikes!
It's amazing, man. When people that don't believe in truth, you know, project their truth so clearly.
I know.
So definitively.
Secular just makes me sad sometimes.
She's having a rough go.
She is having a rough go.
Last couple of weeks.
What's the next look like? Is it basic or?
Yeah, it's pretty quick, right?
Okay.
Dear Life from the Path, I have developed a medical condition that requires me to wear adult diapers. That's hard enough for me, but why, when you get to the checkout, do they ask, do you want a bag for this?
Critter,
of course I do. I really don't want to flaunt the fact I wear a diaper all through the parking lot. I'm neither young nor ancient, somewhere in between. What? And I never thought I'd ever use this product before age 80.
See, I told Critter not to write in. And dear Critter, take my advice. And now here we are.
Well, I don't. I'm confused.
Here's the deal. There's not actually a question in there. Are you just upset at the nice man who's offering to bag your stuff? And in fact, are you? Here's the deal. If you're trying to hide the fact you wear adult diapers, you might want to buy more than one thing when you go in. Right?
Yeah. Maybe an online purchase could happen and have it delivered in a box to your home.
Yeah. If you're not 80, get on Amazon and order yourself
like
adult diapers.
Picture of your grandparent out of your wallet or something.
Exactly. Myrtle, that's what it's for.
You know what you should do?
You're in between young and ancient. Act like it.
Carry around a small braided piece of jewelry that you'll say came from your 6-year-old grandson.
And then drop it in front of people so they know that you don't care about it.
Oops, my grandson made that. By the way, I'll just have those one diapers, please. Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
I just say own it, man.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Own it.
Yeah, those are my
just
diapers.
From a social reaction, I totally want to do this now.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, do you want to put that in a bag? No, keep it out.
No.
I want people to know.
Can I get one out of there right now, by the way? Because I can use one.
Hey, can you wear them on the inside and the outside of your pants all at the same time.
Move it. You got to carry it out in victory. Like two hands.
This is mine. I am victorious. Yeah. And I am neither young nor ancient.
I'm glad
I don't have a medical condition that makes me do that, but that sounds fun.
Why would they even print that? That's silly.
Yeah, that seems weird to kind of put in. I feel like that's one of those that's just like, no, we really don't need to print that one. That one doesn't need to go.
Can you imagine the situation this man's in? Or that he felt like he needed the advice from the colonists, right? Like,
who does this guy live with?
They didn't say, hey, you know, what should I do? They just stated a fact like, when I go and buy embarrassing things from the store, first of all, I only buy that and that only. And then people are like judging me, asking me if I want a bag.
Yeah, just get a bag of bananas or something alongside it.
First of all, the guy running the bagger's 14. He's scared to death of you.
Yeah. And that's the truth. He's legitimately just going off of, do you want a bag?
Yeah.
Because that's what they taught him to do with 20 hours of instructional videos.
And he
probably didn't even know what you're buying.
That's right. He drives home every night going,
depends on what?
Do you want a bag for that? Do you want a bag? Oh, I messed it up. Do you want a bag for that? You know what I'm saying? Turns the radio
He's
down.
He's playing around with his tone.
Plastic.
Yeah.
Should this be quizzitive or just like statement? Like, yeah. Do you want a bag for that?
I don't know.
You probably should have a bag for that.
Yeah. It seems like a good idea if you had a bag for that. We should do that.
Secular's last advice is, whether a customer would like a bag for his or her purchases is a question that baggers ask 100 times a day to the point that it becomes automatic. The way to deal with this potentially embarrassing encounter would be to provide your own carry-out bags when buying adult diapers.
Or you could be a human being and just go, why, yes, I would love a bag.
I would take a bag.
And then walk out on your merry way, not having made the world revolve around you for one second.
Think about this. Think about when you go to the grocery store on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. Do you know how many people are buying Preparation H? A lot.
Right.
How many times did you notice and point it out and then think something about it? Almost none.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even notice they were buying it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The only thing they notice is milk, because they know how they have to ask you if you wanted a bag or not. That's the only thing baggers notice. That's it.
Do you get a bag for your milk?
Yes.
Oh, do you? Oh,
yeah. Well,
no,
that's because
I carry everything
at one time because I'm lazy but able to lift everything. So I do the one carry.
That way, they all
everything.
Fit in one little spot. Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so he's gonna. The advice is bring your own bag, preferably one that says, there's definitely not adult diapers in here. Many shoppers use them as a way to protect the environment. Alternatively, consider ordering the diapers online.
Yep.
Hey, look, I don't know how you've survived this long, friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these are pretty easy solutions.
This is half the advice. Like, some of the advice we give, or the questions that are sent in, I legitimately understand. Well, I wish you would have a person in your life you could just go ask, but... Some of them is just like, well, I get adult diapers, and I don't like that they ask me for a bag. They should just.
Is this the same person complaining about the kid crying?
I sure
downstairs?
Hope not.
That sounds like
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a double whammy where he's just like, man, I need two bits of advice to answer. Man, man.
All right, you've been hanging out with Life from the Path. We're in studio with Light 45. You can check out past clips on the website. Go to lifefromthepath.org. You can see clips from other bands that have been in, and very soon, the clips from Light 45. And so we're real excited. If you want to send us some feedback, do so at info@lifefromthepath.org. So, fellas, where do you you got some gigs lined up? Where are you going to be?
Well, that's a great question. That's on the website, light45.com. I know we're playing in Winona, we're playing in Austin. I'm not sure where else.
Dodge Center,
Minnesota. Yep.
We're playing with Danger Scene.
Oh yeah.
A Guy's Garage. I played your time with earlier. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of stuff going on, so it's like hard to keep it all straight in our head. So
yeah. So, but the website, that's the way to handle
it. I go to the website to find out.
Or Facebook.
Like, hey, what's our next show? Oh, it's tonight. All right, man.
Wait, so do you do all the social medias, like you on Facebook and Twitter and everything, or just...
Yeah.
We do it all, but we are on Facebook, like, religiously.
Primarily, okay.
We'll respond within minutes.
Props to Ken Quadrant. I think I'm last name.
Yeah.
He takes care of that stuff.
Same with the whole Twitter things. I don't even know how that works, so.
Yeah. I'm on Facebook all the time, and so, you can get a hold of us.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. All right, yeah, so definitely like them on Facebook so you can keep up with what's going on and check out the website at light45.com. All right, let's sail the show out, you guys, with one more tune. Tell me a little about the last tune. It is Bringing You Back to Life.
Yeah, this is... one of our favorite songs, Brandon, my favorite song, I believe. I think Steve is yours, probably, Mark. Is
it? Yeah, yep.
Yeah. And
makes you think of sharpening my knives.
A couple of things about this song. It's one of the, you know, we have some songs that we talked about that are kind of hidden. The messages are a little bit more buried, and you got to kind of dust off the surface to really figure out what the story and the message is there. This isn't one of those. This one is a song from Jesus to an apostle, you know, somebody that's gone into a community and loved the people and done everything to serve them, and then God just calls them to go to the next place, even if they're absolutely in love with those people. They're just obedient to go and to do, and so this is called Bringing You Back to Life. And yeah, and we have another critter story here. This is from, what, 2 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
So we got bashed at the farm. We left my house I got off at 3:30, got it bashed at the farm. It was hot out there.
Bashing.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay. Right.
He's just starting the story.
So we were out in the heat. I played. I've been drinking water. And we were going to spend the night at Bash, but it was just hot. I was like, man, we got to get home. I got to teach a drum lesson, and we had to get to another festival, and we had to be there at 9. And so we left.
A.M.
We got back to my place at 3:30 in the morning. I got up at 5 and went and taught my drum lesson. And then I got to this other festival, which was...
That's an early drum lesson.
Yeah, no doubt.
Camp Victory.
Cool. Yeah, so we're playing with The Unspoken cool and Bretta Stone. And it was unbelievably hot. I mean, I'm drinking water all day. Just pounding into me. And they said there was going to be a big storm coming, so they shut the festival down. They brought us into this big shelter thing. And
it's like a gym, yeah.
It was just... they had lights on us and everything. And so we get ready to play this song. And he's like, hey, it's Brandon's and ours favorite song. I was like, yes, sweetheart, I love this song. Absolutely love this song. And I sang it, and I blacked out twice. And I didn't miss a beat. Like, I just stopped playing, came back,
true.
And hit the snare again, and then blacked out. But what's funny about it was when I did black out, my first thought was when I came back, I was like, why are we restarting the song? This is not normal. And then I did it again, and I looked at these two, and I said, what are y'all doing out there? Like, quit dinking around. And then it dawned on me, like, I black out. So I come right back in, and like, it was like, oh, chorus time. So it was.
He pulled it off early.
It was comical, but I had a lot of heat stroke that day.
Wow.
Well, when you're on stage, too, and like, someone makes a mistake in your band, you don't want to like turn around and look at
it. Yeah, right.
Right. Or, like,
how dare you?
Yeah, so like, we're just going to keep playing. We're not going to look back, you know. And,
yeah.
Then he does it again. We're like, man, like he just keeps dropping his sticks. Like, this isn't like him, you know? Come to find out, he always was falling off the drum riser, but somehow he stayed sitting on his throne. I don't know.
I still don't know how you did that.
Yeah,
I would have fainted if I would have fell off my chair.
Yeah, he came right back in. It just you knew what was going on, man. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah, he came back to life twice.
That's true. That could have been real dangerous. That really worked out.
It's just funny because the song's called Bringing You Back to Life. Like, what it happens the odds twice. Of that, man? Like, seriously.
He actually died twice.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And the Lord's up there going, just drink more water. I make water. Yeah. It's all over the place.
I don't want to have to keep doing this.
He's too hairy. You can't drink enough water. It's just not possible.
Lazarus, I told you
one of those helmets
president.
That has the two bottles of water and the straws.
There you go.
Just sit there.
All right, so let's do it. This is Light 45 with Bringing You Back to Life.
When you're weak,
of kings. You're everything. I took it all for you. I took it all for you. You. And if you're scared inside, I'll be bringing you back to life.
Different, played my down. I think I'm gonna get my beard caught in the strings.
Hey, Brandon, you made it through.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job, man.
He didn't even pass out.
That's true. I didn't consider that he might pass out and die over there.
We were hoping.
That's rough times.
Well, maybe not the die part. What if he did
just
die?
To pass out.
Too
far,
did die. Too I mean, much. There's other people who want to play drums for us anyway, so.
Oh, man. It was cold.
By the way, if you'd like to apply, light45.com.
Boy, it sounds like it's time to put you guys back in the van. A big thanks to Light 45 for coming in. Thanks, fellas. You did a fantastic job. We'll have those clips up on the website soon. Make sure you check out their website, light45.com. Follow them on Facebook. Make sure you see what they're doing up live. I mean, it was awesome in studio here. I can't imagine live show's got to be... it's a different experience, but just as cool, maybe double times.
Absolutely. Probably double. Grace said she knew what the date of the next show was. Do you remember what it was, Grace?
August 12th.
August 12th at the garage, right? At the...
Well,
hold on a minute. I mean, how much does that cost? Can I just show up? Is there a cover?
It's in Rochester.
At the most, it's like $10.
Yeah. Well, that's those. Yeah, it's steeped. I get it. Steeped.
Never mind. We got to get out of here.
All right. You guys are great, man.
Thanks for listening live from the past.
I might just come hang out here anyway.
Be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.